This is KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM, streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. I'm Jared Griffin, taking you through the Midday News Report, Island Messenger, and then on to and into Talk of the Rock, where I will be speaking with some folks from Kodiak College about the opening of the school year at the college level. We do have a programming change also later on this evening at 7 p.m. tonight. We will be airing a Night to Meet the Candidates. That will be on the August 18th primary ballot. All of the candidates who are on the ballot for U.S. Senate, U.S. House, State Senate will either present live or be represented for 5 minutes each on the webinar. Louise Stutes is running unopposed for the House District State Representative seat, but I think we'll have a pre-recorded message from Representative Stutes. So that's 7 p.m. tonight on KMXT. It's 55 degrees, really nice right now in Kodiak. Got some rain moving in next few days, but we'll get more details on the weather when we get to the Island Messenger. Here are the headlines coming up on the Midday Report. Coast Guard crew from Air Station Kodiak medevacs a pregnant crew member near St. Paul. Trident Seafoods is looking to enter the kelp farming business over on Long Island. The Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference, or SWAMC, has a new program to help small businesses receive aid. We have an update on the Pink Salmon Run and details on the ferry plans for this winter. These headlines and more coming up on the Midday Report after national news from NPR, and then stay tuned after for Talk of the Rock, where I talk with faculty from Kodiak College. Any questions, give us a call, 486-3181.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lori London. With the Democratic National Convention less than a week away, anticipation is intensifying over who Joe Biden will choose as a running mate and when he'll reveal his choice. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
I think the list has remained the same. Sounds like he's about to make his decision because the vetting committee has pretty much disbanded, and it could be as early as today that we find out.
The campaign has reportedly been preparing, even as Biden himself spent some of the past week privately interviewing contenders in advance of a final decision. Russia's announcement that it has approved the world's first coronavirus vaccine is being met with international skepticism. NPR's Richard Harris tells us Russian scientists haven't offered proof on whether the vaccine is safe or effective.
The Russian vaccine has so far only been tested on a few dozen people. Even so, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced the nation has approved the product and could start inoculating people in October. It's named after Sputnik, the first artificial satellite which the Soviet Union launched more than 60 years ago. Dr. Paul Offit, a vaccine expert at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, says no vaccine should be approved before it's shown to be safe and effective.
The notion that they would actually roll this vaccine out into the arms of the Russian public without doing adequate safety and efficacy testing, I think is shameful.
Half a dozen other vaccines are currently in large-scale tests to see if they are safe and effective. Richard Harris, NPR News.
The lawyer for a federal judge says he shouldn't be forced to act as a rubber stamp and automatically dismiss the case against Michael Flynn. NPR's Carrie Johnson reports on an appeals court hearing over prosecution of President Trump's former national security advisor.
A lawyer for District Judge Emmett Sullivan says the whole matter could have been over last month if only the judge had been allowed to have a hearing on the Justice Department's bid to drop the Flynn case. The judge wanted to ask about the government's motives for abandoning the prosecution. Flynn pleaded guilty twice to lying to the FBI, but then Flynn got a new lawyer, and Attorney General Bill Barr arrived at the Justice Department. DOJ decided to back away from the case. It says it no longer serves the interests of justice. If the federal appeals court allows Judge Sullivan to proceed, the Justice Department says it should limit the judge's role and require a quick decision. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
The Big Ten Conference won't be playing football this fall because of concerns over the coronavirus. The word comes days after it had released a tentative schedule that it hoped would help navigate a fall season that included potential coronavirus disruptions. And at the closing bell, stocks gave up early gains. The Dow down 103 points. This is NPR.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The local news is supported in part by Ardinger's Fine Furnishings, home of the Tempur-Pedic Ergo Collection and the Tempur-Pedic Breeze, made especially for those who sleep hot. The Breeze cushions and supports you while channeling excess heat away from the mattress. Tempur-Pedic's Ergo Base allows you to move the bed into multiple ergonomic positions for sleeping or relaxing. 486-5554.
And by Arctic Physical Therapy Services, Incorporated. Professional rehabilitation for all your physical therapy needs. We repair the world's most complex machine. 813 Mill Bay Road, 486-4499.
A Coast Guard Air Station Kodiak Air Crew hoisted a pregnant crew member from a fishing vessel 200 miles northwest of St. Paul on Saturday. The MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter crew hoisted and transported the crew member to Cold Bay for further medical care. Saturday morning, District 17 Command Center personnel received a medevac request from the captain of the fishing vessel Northern Jaeger for a 22-year-old female crew member reportedly experiencing medical complications due to pregnancy. The Northern Jaeger, a 300-foot factory trawler, was located approximately 200 miles northwest of St. Paul. At about 2:45 p.m., the helicopter crew took the patient to Cold Bay and transferred her to a LifeMed flight team, who then transported the patient to higher medical care. An Air Station Kodiak air crew aboard a HC-130J Super Hercules aircraft also provided support throughout the transfer. Trident Seafoods is looking to get into the kelp farming business in Kodiak. The seafood company has applied to lease 25 acres of land, of state land, in Cook Bay on Long Island to harvest bull kelp, sugar kelp, and ribbon kelp. Long Island lies about 5 miles east of Kodiak. The lease is for what is called an aquatic farm, and it would be for 10 years. Currently, that land is designated for wildlife habitat and public recreation and tourism. However, Trident says that an aquatic farm is allowable under the Kodiak Area Plan, which looks to open up economic opportunities to diversify the local economy. Kodiak already has a burgeoning kelp harvesting industry, the Kodiak Kelp Company in Kelsen Bay, and Alaska Sea Greens in Euganic Bay. You can read Trident's proposal on KMXT.org here in a little bit when we post the story. Public comment is being taken on Trident's proposed kelp farm through August 24th. You can send your comments to Brent Reynolds at the Department of Natural Resources at brent.reynolds@alaska.gov or call 907-266-8913. It's tough enough to deal with the economic fallout from the coronavirus, but perhaps even more frustrating to apply for state or federal relief. And if you're from rural Alaska with poor internet access, or simply can't get to a computer because you're out on a fishing boat when the application deadline looms, Shirley Marquardt feels your pain.
Why is this application so difficult to fill out? Why are you guys making this tough? It's already difficult. Don't make it more difficult.
Marquardt is director of the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference, known as SWAMC, an economic development group which serves communities in Bristol Bay, Kodiak, the Aleutians, and Pribilof Islands. And after sitting through hours and hours of teleconferences trying to figure out how to navigate a maze of government programs, Marquardt decided it was time to bring the Forward program to SWAMC's website. She says if you own a small business, fish commercially, or run a nonprofit, this program is designed for you, and you may be surprised at how much help there is through loans, grants, and tax deferrals. And now it's all at your fingertips.
Super easy. You go to one screen, one website, and everything that's available comes up, and it shows you what you're eligible for, what you might be eligible for, and what you're not eligible for.
And that is the voice of Carrie Scraggs, hired to return every phone call.
I respond as quickly as I can because people are nervous, they're scared. They're wondering what their future is going to look like, and I think it makes a difference for them to hear a voice that seems to care.
Normally, when there's state or federal help available, Skaggs says she travels to communities and spends time with people one-on-one to help them apply for programs. But with the threat of the pandemic, everything has to be done online, a process that's not user-friendly to begin with, and even harder if you live in rural Alaska.
they feel disconnected and cut off as it is. And so when they get a live person on the phone and hear a voice that will listen to their story and listen to their needs, listen to their fears, it does bring some comfort, even if I can't always solve their problem.
Skaggs says if she can't answer your question, she will at least research it and get back to you to help you point you in the right direction. She'll also make herself available during the evening and weekends. Shirley Marquardt says Swampsea hopes its Forward program will live up to its name and help people move forward by connecting them to help.
It's taking the mystery and the mystique out of how to get help and just shows you right there, boom, look at all these things that are available. Which ones fit you? Oh, look, this fits you, this fits you, this fits you. You want to apply? Click apply.
Marquardt says you can apply directly from the Swampsea website. That's swampsea.org, S-W-A-M-C.org. The only catch is that you have to live in a community that Swampsea serves. The Kodiak pink salmon harvest is on the downslope, but appears headed for an impressive finish. And that's a good thing when you consider that pink salmon make up the lion's share of the value of Kodiak's commercial salmon harvest. James Jackson, Kodiak's area biologist for commercial fisheries, says fishing in the Southwest Kodiak District has netted the third largest harvest in 50 years. Jackson says the Karluk, Sturgeon, and Ayakulik systems all had excellent runs.
We knew that those three runs had really good escapement in 2018, particularly Karluk. I think Karluk in 18 escaped around 2.2 million pinks, so we knew there was the potential for a really decent run coming back there.
Jackson says the Sturgeon and Ayakulik systems were more of a surprise. Although both met escapement goals, it wasn't by much, but combined, the three fisheries produced a lot of fish.
The pinks are beautiful, I've heard. They're big this year. The quality is great, so hopefully the fishermen get a good product out of it and get a decent price.
In the Northwest District, escapement has been met, but the runs haven't been as strong. Jackson says their numbers have peaked and will likely decline this week. The Katoy Bay hatchery is currently tracking below average, but close to the forecast. Pink salmon escapement in the Alatak District is tracking as expected. The gillnet harvest, though, is performing above average. Overall, Jackson says it's turning out to be an above average year for pinks, especially for an even year, which is typically weaker than odd-numbered years. Aerial surveys show the Kodiak management area has escaped more than 4 million pink salmon. Management is now shifting to late-run sockeye. The early signs look good, and the run appears to be above average in some areas. The Alaska Marine Highway System will operate at minimum levels this winter, as we reported yesterday. That's according to an announcement from the Department of Transportation that says the COVID-19 virus has cut deeply into the fleet's fare box revenue. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick has this update.
DOT's regional spokesman Sam Dapsevich said Monday he couldn't immediately say how much the system had lost due to the pandemic.
But we are down quite dramatically, so taking that into account, this was the best that we could do, you know, for providing service.
Seven vessels will operate between October and next June. There will be some wide gaps in service. In most cases, only one ferry will be assigned to each route, with no slack in the system. Melina Marvin in Petersburg says the cuts are hitting Southeast Alaska hard.
To me, it feels like a mobster breaking somebody's knees and then blaming them for falling down. That's, I think, how a lot of communities feel about what's happening to the ferries right now.
She started Ferries Move Alaska, an active Facebook forum that's garnered more than 4,500 followers in recent months. How many sailings each community will receive isn't clear. That's because the state hasn't released a draft schedule and doesn't plan to this year. Rather, it's giving residents this week to comment on a rough operational plan before it finalizes a winter schedule. Usually, Marvin notes, the Marine Highway releases a draft and holds a teleconference public hearing for affected coastal communities on its precise plans for the season.
You know, usually there's notification on the local radio. We have several weeks to kind of find time to look over the schedule and try to understand how it's going to be serving the community.
DOT officials concede it's not the same as the usual process, but defended the need to streamline public input, saying it was necessary due to the pandemic, low traffic levels, and the associated decline in revenue. Here's what is known. The ferry Aurora's return to service is being delayed from October to mid-April. That's because the state says it needs more steelwork than previously thought. Southeast villages of Hoonah, Gustavus, Angoon, Pelican, and Tanaki Springs will see a nearly two-month winter gap without service, while the ferry Leconte is being overhauled in mid-February. and some other villages, such as Yuzinki and Port Lions on Kodiak Island, have been eliminated from the winter schedule altogether. Also of note, neither of the state's newest vessels, the $120 million Alaska-class ferries, are on the schedule. The Taslina is due to get new side doors. It's not clear when its sister ship, Hubbard, will finally enter revenue service. The deadline to comment is Friday afternoon. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
And the Alaska Marine Highway System canceled the Lacantes run up Lynn Canal on Sunday after a crew member on the ferry tested positive for COVID-19. State transportation officials say the ferry worker had finished a two-week shift on August 1st and began feeling ill upon returning home to Juneau. It's not clear when the crew member went in for a test. Sam Dapsevich, a spokesman for the Marine Highway, says state transportation officials were notified about the case on Saturday.
We tested the entire crew aboard Lacani, 23 crew members, and all the test results came back negative. We also are testing the next crew that is supposed to start their rotation August 14th. They will all be required to have a negative test result before reporting to duty.
The Lacondi's crew wasn't cleared until the early morning hours of Sunday. That led to the decision to postpone the sailing to Haines and Skagway until Tuesday.
So the amount of time it took to test everybody and keeping people up late into the night, we didn't want to run the boat the next morning with a tired crew.
The Lacani is expected to resume sailings this week and includes runs between Juneau, Pelican, Angoon, Cake, and Lynn Canal later this week. State public health officials say no close contacts were identified in Juneau or on the vessel. There are no specific testing or quarantine recommendations for passengers or crew at this time. And finally, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration is scrambling to see how it can restore expanded unemployment benefits to about 60,000 people under a new program announced over the weekend by President Donald Trump, but there's no time frame yet for getting it off the ground. After congressional negotiations over a new COVID-19 relief package collapsed, Trump held a news conference over the weekend at his New Jersey golf course to announce that he's taking executive action to extend the benefits, although at $400 a week instead of the $600 a week they'd been before expiring at the end of the month.
Under this plan, states will be able to offer greater benefits if they so choose, and the federal government will cover 75% of the cost. So we're all set up.
But if you're waiting to get these federal benefits restored, don't expect to see the money in the immediate future. One problem is that Trump's executive action faces likely legal challenges, and experts say there's only enough money in the account that the president wants to use to run the new program for about 5 weeks. Even if it does go ahead, there are still some logistical questions about how it would work in Alaska. The State Department of Labor, which oversees the unemployment insurance program, says it's presenting three options to Governor Dunleavy for how he could respond to the presidential order. One is simply skipping the program altogether. A second option would cost Alaska an estimated $100 million through the end of the year. The third option is using the state's existing unemployment insurance program as its matching money, which would drop the value of the new benefit to $300 instead of $400. Labor Department Deputy Commissioner Kathy Munoz says those three options have been presented to Dunleavy, but says it's too early to say how long it might take to get the program up and running. Here's Fish Radio.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Your input can affect fish policy. Now's your chance. More after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, online at alaskaboat.com.
This week and month provide many chances to add your 2 cents on state and federal fishery policies, and the links to comment can be found with one stop at the Alaska Fish Radio website. First off, feedback on shaping an online all-hands-on-deck fall meeting for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute is welcome by Wednesday, August 12th, in a quick survey. The deadline to comment to the U.S. Department of Agriculture on new dietary guidelines is Thursday, August 13th. Recommendations through 2025 include adding seafood to a baby's diet as early as 6 months. Seafood also would be required eating at women, infant, and children feeding programs and school lunches. This Friday, August 14th, is the last chance to comment to Fish and Game on the draft payout plans for the 2018 Gulf of Alaska cod crash and the Chinook sockeye salmon run failure. The public can comment through August 24th on whether the Pebble Mine will or will not violate existing water quality laws. Before the feds can authorize a permit, the State Department of Environmental Conservation must certify it won't violate existing laws under the Clean Water Act. The Board of Fisheries wants public input on whether its upcoming meetings should be postponed or be held in person or online. The meetings run from October through March and will focus on Prince William Sound, Southeast, hatcheries, and statewide shellfish. Deadline to comment is August 31st. Finally, a public hearing on Governor Dunleavy's Fish Board appointments is set for September 3rd in Anchorage. Send comments on nominees Abe Williams of Anchorage and Mackenzie Mitchell of Fairbanks to Representative Louise Stutes. And find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
No community announcements, so we'll jump right into the weather. Well, it's 55 degrees in Kodiak right now, 72% humidity, calm winds. It's going to be a nice day, high near 62. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 51, south wind around 5 miles an hour. And tomorrow, we'll get some rain coming in, 20% chance of rain after 1 p.m. Mostly sunny with a high near 62 and calm wind. In Homer right now, it's 61 degrees, fair skies. They're looking at a high of 62, some scattered showers mainly after 4, and then scattered showers tonight after 7. And in Anchorage, 58 degrees with light rain, north wind, 5 miles per hour. They might get up to 64 degrees, but more thunderstorms are possible after 1 p.m. And the showers and thunderstorms might continue tonight in Anchorage. Well, today is Tuesday, the 11th of August. The sun rose at 6:26 a.m. and it will set tonight at 10:01 p.m., giving us about 15 hours and 34 minutes of daylight. We will have lost 4 minutes and 35 seconds of that daylight, but the good news is that the sun is going to rise tomorrow at 6:28 a.m. Record high was 75 in 1989 and record low 42 in 1935. If you're heading out onto the water, forecast for the North Gulf Coast, Kodiak Island waters, and Cook Inlet. We got a weather front associated with a stationary 1,013 millibar low that is 50 nautical miles south of Montague Island will dissipate. Sometime this morning, another front is going to enter southwestern Gulf Thursday morning. Locally, let's see what we got for... looks pretty good. West of the Barren Islands, including Kamishak Bay today, west wind to 15 knots in the morning, becoming variable of 10 knots with seas at 4 feet. Tonight, variable wind of 10 knots with seas at 3 feet, and tomorrow, variable wind of 10 knots, seas at 2 feet. For Barren Islands East today, west wind of 15 knots with seas at 6 feet. Tonight, variable wind of 10 knots, seas at 3 feet, and tomorrow, variable wind of 10 knots with seas at 4 feet. From Marmot Island to Sitkanak today, southwest wind of 15 knots with seas at 5 feet. Tonight, variable wind of 10 knots, seas at 4 feet, and tomorrow, variable wind of 10 knots with seas at 5 feet. For Chinook Bay today, variable wind of less than 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. Tonight, south wind of 10 knots in the evening, becoming variable of less than 10 knots with seas at 2 feet. And tomorrow, variable wind of less than 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. For Marmot Bay today, southwest wind of 10 knots in the morning, becoming variable of less than 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. Tonight, variable wind of less than 10 knots, seas at 3 feet. And tomorrow, variable wind less than 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. And finally, for the Shelikof Strait today, southwest wind to 15 knots with seas at 4 feet. Tonight, southwest wind to 15 knots, seas at 4 feet. And tomorrow, southwest wind of 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. Looking at the tide table in the Kodiak District, low tide coming up at 1:18 p.m. of 2.53 feet, and a high tide tonight at 7:55 p.m. of 7.33 feet. Over on the west side, low tide at 2:04 p.m. of 4.60 feet, and a high tide tonight at 8:16 p.m. of 11.96 feet. All right, I'm going to move on over to Talk of the Rock, where I will be talking with faculty from Kodiak College about the new fall semester coming up. And if you have any questions for Kodiak College, you can give us a call at 486-3181. And here is a new announcement from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Kodiak, with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement number 20, date issued August 9th at 10 a.m. There will be a 72-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Monday, August 10th, to 9 p.m. Thursday, August 13th, in the following areas. In the outer Karluk and outer Aikuluk sections of the southwest Kodiak District, the northwest Kodiak District, except for the Anton Larsen Bay, Sheratine Bay, Kajuyak Bay, Zacher Bay, Spiridon Bay, and Uyak Bay sections will remain closed. And the southeast of Fog Neck, Raspberry Strait, southwest of Fog Neck, northwest of Fog Neck, Paranosa Bay, northeast of Fog Neck, and Duck Bay sections of the Fog Neck District. And there will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, August 11th, to 9 p.m. Thursday, August 13th in the following areas. In the Cape Alitak, Humpy Deadman, Alitak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District, the Shuyak Island and Paul's Bay sections of the Fog Neck District, the Northeast Kodiak District, the Seven Rivers and Two-Headed sections of the Eastside Kodiak District south of a latitude of Cape Kiavac at 57 degrees 0.0 north latitude, and the Big River, Hallow Bay, Outer Kukak Bay, Dakovac Bay, and Katmai sections of the Mainland District, and the Alinchak Bay section of the Mainland District north of a latitude of Cape Kekernoi at 57 degrees 43.5 north latitude. As previously announced, the following areas remain open until further notice: the Inner Katoy Bay, Outer Katoy Bay, and Izua Bay sections of the Fog Neck District, and the Spiridon Bay Special Harvest Area, also known as Telrod Cove. Closed waters are increased until further notice to the fishing game markers placed by hatchery staff near Big Katoy Creek Stream Number 252324, and to the fishing game markers located at Little Katoy Creek Stream Number 252323. Until further notice, in that portion of the northwest and southwest Kodiak District south of latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse and gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Other closed waters are as shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations and Statistical Charts. Harvest strategies and Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. And this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
All right. We have a few community announcements, and then we'll get right to Talk of the Rock with Jared and his guests from Kodiak College. The Kodiak City Council will hold a special work session on Thursday, August 13th at 6:30 p.m. This work session will be immediately followed by a special meeting. The meetings will be held in the Kodiak Public Library multipurpose room at 612 Egan Way. Both meetings are open to the public. And for COVID-19 protective measures, please wear a mask and social distance. For additional information, call the City Clerk's office at 486-8636. Kodiak Kiwanis Kids Pink Salmon Derby is happening this weekend. They've changed it up a bit so that people can socially distance on the riverbanks. It is a three-day event, August 14, 15, and 16. The event goes from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day, and participants can participate only on one of those days. The mouth of the Buskin River is where you will fish, below the bridge. The event is free, and registration is required. It's open to ages 3 through 15, and the winner will be announced at the end of the derby. All cars parked in the park will be required to pay the Alaska State Parks use fee at the kiosk unless you already have the AK Parks decal. If you want to help with this event, you can call 539-1422 or go to the Kiwanis Facebook page and they'll put you on the meeting notice list. Every Wednesday, the library offers a virtual children's story time on the library's Facebook page and YouTube channel at 10:30 a.m. So that'll be happening tomorrow at 10:30. Also, there are only a few weeks left to complete this summer's reading challenges. You can stop by for a story walk or a hive check on Wednesdays. Check out new books, stay involved, and win prizes. You can contact Youth Services Specialist Ani Thomas for more information at 486-8686. 1-800-283. And the Kodiak Public Library is open by appointment Monday through Saturday at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. for a one-hour visit per day. For seniors and early birds, 9 a.m. appointments are available on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Patrons must wear masks and follow social distancing guidelines. Thank you. Call to artists. The Kodiak Crab Festival is going virtual, and so is the 20th Annual Art Show. The Frame Shop and the Kodiak Arts Council invite Kodiak artists to submit new original creative work to be included in the 2020 Crab Fest Art Show. The show will accept and feature work submissions from Kodiak artists completed within the past three years. Eligible media include, but are not limited to, drawing, painting, photography, mixed media, pastels, block or ink print, pottery, sculpture, collage, digital art, metalwork, jewelry design, fiber and textile art, and woodwork. Kodiak youth can participate too. The Crab Fest Art Show will have a special category for young artists ages 17 and under. The deadline to submit artwork is August 14, 2020. Complete guidelines and a link to the online submission form can be found at kodiakarts.org. And that's it for the Island Messenger. Coming up, Talk of the Rock.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.